Well, as the adult pastor at Christchurch, or at least one of them, part of my role is supporting and developing the ministry teams. And serving as every member ministry is something that we believe in at Christchurch. And it's a key part of our vision. We're not interested in increasing the busyness of church or the busyness of life, but the church's vision includes the desire to see everyone becoming mature in Christ and fully equipped for their God-given ministry. And the key phrase here is mature in Christ. Now, we can be very busy for Christ, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we're mature for Him. And I've got no intention of merely growing our ministry teams. There's no intention of merely just increasing the number of things that we do. Instead, our desire is that we grow in maturity in Christ. And as Francis was talking about this morning, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ Jesus. That's what it's about. And I want to begin this evening by challenging us with a question, something to think about, questioning who we are. I'm really wrestling with that question, knowing what foundation we've been building upon. See, there's no point in laying bricks if the foundation's skewed, because it's going to go off kilter very soon. We're not looking for more ministry. What we're looking for is Christ-like ministry. And so, this evening, the question I want us to consider is, first off, where is your identity? Where is your identity? What do you find your identity in? And I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that in our Western culture, generally, our identity is tied to our job and to our work. If you think about it, when you meet someone or you introduce yourself to someone, what do you do is fairly high up the list of questions that you're going to get asked. But finding our identity in what we do is a very dangerous game. And in this world, we have people who are uncertain of who they are, seeking to find their validation in what they do, in their work, in their positions of power. Now, they call it a rat race for a reason. Striving, competing against one another. Because it's much more than passing exams. It's much more than getting a pay rise or getting that position. It's about finding your identity, finding your worth. And unfortunately, a lot of this trickles into the church. Now, that's not the way it's meant to be. We're not supposed to find our identity in what we do. Rather, our identity should be defining what it is that we do. And we get a brief glimpse into God's identity in this passage in Philippians. And God doesn't suffer from an identity crisis. God knows who He is. He's God. He always has been God. He always will be God. He knows who He is. He was God when He spoke the world into creation. He was God when He suffered and He died on a cross. Always has been, always will be. Whether exalted to the highest or reaching down to the lowest, He's still God. Jesus wasn't more God before the incarnation. And He wasn't less God when He was wrapped in swaddling bands, or when He was stripped naked and whipped and beaten and scourged. He always has been God. He always will be God. And because God knows who He is, He can act in accordance with His nature. He doesn't have to hold on to His divine rights to be assured of His identity. As we read in the passage earlier, Christ didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, something to be held on to. He doesn't need to wear a crown of gold to be convinced that He's God. He very happily laid aside that crown of gold and took up a crown of thorns. There's no grasping with God. He's not insecure in himself. He knows who he is. He knows his identity. He didn't have to hold on to his rights for his sake, but he gave them up for our sake. So God knows who he is, and who he is defines what he does. But as we said, we know humanity isn't like that. We grasp, we strive, we hold on to things because without them, we're sometimes uncertain of who we are. We can't easily let go of things at times because we feel that if we do that, then we're losing part of ourselves. When our identity is tied to the things that we do. And we can see that sometimes in the context of unemployment. Yeah, it's tough not having an income coming in, but myself having been unemployed at times, the tough thing is you really have to rethink your identity. What am I now if I'm not working? And it can be a challenging time. We can see it sometimes in the context of exams, when you fail exams. That's a bit of a knock to our identity sometimes. But the thing that I want us to consider tonight is how we can see this happening even within the context of serving within the church. Now, we can be very busy serving in the church, not so much for the sake of others, but sometimes for our own sake, because we need it. And yet our service is not to define our identity, but our identity will define our service. Now, when Tanya and myself, when we lived in Scotland, I worked as a worship coordinator in an independent church there for a while. And fairly soon into that new role, one of the keyboard players came up to me and took me aside and started to complain, basically, about some of the copyright information on one of the songs being incorrect. And they continued, and basically, they were accusing me of promoting theft in the church because we had the wrong number on one of our worksheets. And I knew that this was more than just highlighting some simple typo. And I soon discovered that this person had felt that the role of worship coordinator was something that they should be getting. It was something that they had expected. And all of a sudden the church had offered it to me. And they were incredibly bitter about this and were constantly trying to find holes and things to pick at. And this bitterness continued, eventually to the point where they left the music team and they left the church. But what was it that caused such bitterness? And I truly believe that the cause of it was that they were finding their identity within their role in the church. It wasn't so much that not being asked to be the worship coordinator was a disappointment to them. It was much more than that. It was an assault on their very being. They'd held their worth in the positions that they were holding. And it's a sad and tragic story. This was a highly talented and gifted individual. And they had a really difficult and hard past. There were some horrible scars that they were bearing. They tried to deal with them by finding their worth in what they were doing. And I desired that this relationship could be restored, and I think unfortunately they felt too awkward about the whole situation and they were too ashamed to respond to the open hand of friendship. And now unfortunately the opportunity to restore that friendship has gone forever. They died suddenly a few years ago. Maybe for some of us here, we need to reconcile with one another as well. Take the opportunity whilst you have it. But what happened here with them acted as a warning for me in a few years down the line when I was training up my successor in the worship ministry. I was aware of the dangers. I'd led worship pretty much Sunday by Sunday for 2 years. That was my role. I was a worship coordinator. I was a worship guy. And then suddenly I'm bringing in this other guy and he's leading worship too. So what's sort of happening to my job? What am I now when I'm not at the front leading worship? And it's often at that time that the temptation comes in, the lie comes in that you've lost your value. And the danger is we start to find our identity in our roles of service, in our role of ministry. And we feel that it's something we need to grasp, something we need to hold on to, because that's where we're finding our identity. But we need to listen carefully, because this isn't just limited to positions of authority. Often we can mistakenly think that because we're fulfilling the role of being a servant, then this word of grasping, this word of holding on to things, doesn't necessarily apply to us. But that's not so. That's not the case. There are many people in churches across this nation today who are diligently serving. They're serving in all manners of roles, whether they're big, whether they're small. But they're grasping. They're holding on to those roles to validate themselves. And the fact that we're called to be servant-hearted only causes them to believe that what they're doing is right anyway and not question it. And yet they serve because they need to, because that's where they're finding their identity. There are many broken and hurting people with deep scars from the past who are trying to find their identity in service. And it may be a sin from the past in their life that God has forgiven them for, but they just can't forgive themselves for. They may have suffered at the hand of someone else's sin. They may have suffered abuse. And now they feel worthless and permanently soiled and damaged. And there's a lie over their lives that's telling them that they are worthless, that they're a mistake, that they're a blip in God's plan of salvation. That's a lie and that's not true. And the easy answer at those times is for us to try to find our value in the things that we do. So seeking to make ourselves indispensable, seeking to make ourselves a good investment in God's kingdom. But then when another person comes to share in that role, when a ministry opportunity is taken away, that lie comes in again. It's not something that you can run away from. It's something that needs to be faced. And there are two options at that time. We can either grasp and hold on to those things which we believe will validate us, or we can let go, as painful as it's going to be, and in effect face the lie head on and allow Jesus to be the one who is our defense. And this is something that I've found myself having to come back to time and time again. See, my identity is not I'm a worship leader. It's not I'm a preacher. It's not I'm an associate pastor. My identity is I'm a child of God in Christ Jesus. So whether I'm standing here at the front and preaching, or whether I'm sitting in the creche with my son, my identity doesn't change. My value and my worth, it doesn't change. Nothing's going to change it because my identity is found in Christ alone. And He doesn't change. And God's had to teach me that. And He still has to teach me. He still has to remind me. And sometimes it happens by Him ripping away the very things that I'm holding on to. And it's a painful time, but it's necessary. We know that we can't earn our salvation by good works, but sometimes we think that we can earn our worth by doing good works. But that's not true. We've got to set the foundation right. It's no good trying to make those compensations later on. God's working in our lives. It works from the inside out. Healing and changing the heart. And then flowing into all areas of our lives. And now, lest any of us misunderstand what I'm saying, this is not an excuse to do nothing. This is not an excuse to further promote the Western culture of consumerism. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Once you've got the foundations laid, it's quite the opposite. Our service does not define our identity, but our identity will define our service. Serving isn't the answer to our problems. Serving more isn't the answer to all our problems, but the one who is the answer to all our problems will lead us to serve. As we were reading in our passage in Philippians, our salvation is to be worked out in our lives. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We're not called to be in a spiritual sort of status. We're not called to be cocooned. The metamorphosis has already begun. It's begun now. God's intention is that we become Christ-like. And yes, whilst we wait for the final consummation of his kingdom, when Jesus returns, when we receive our new body, when this mortal body puts on immortality with the renewal of creation. Yes, whilst we wait for that full consummation, the change has begun now. And it's begun precisely because God has poured out his Holy Spirit. Working in our lives, changing us, conforming us to the image of his Son. So that we're no longer conformed to the image of this fading world that is passing away. But that we're transformed into the glorious likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ. Who will reign forever and ever and ever. Amen. But whilst we're called for our salvation to be worked out in our lives, we must remember those following words, because it is God who works in us both to will and to do according to his good purpose. It's God who's working in us. This imperative which we read at the beginning in verses 3 and 4, doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Not just looking for our own interests, but also the interests of others. This imperative finds its power to be completed in Christ Jesus. As I said earlier, I'm not making a big thing of this serving leaflet. I'm not here to populate a serving rota. My application to this sermon is not pick up one of those leaflets and sign up for a ministry. As though that's merely the issue to be addressed. Some of you may do that. That's not my intention. My intention is to not get more people doing more. Rather, it's a desire to see us become mature in Christ. The application of verses 3 and 4 in this passage is not put your name down on a rota. The application is become like Christ. And that's why the imperative of verses 3 and 4 only finds its completion in that imperative which follows and in the verses which follows. To have the same mind, to have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. But note this, this isn't an example that we're called to emulate. It's not an example we're called to emulate, but it's a characteristic. It's a reality that we're called to live out. Our attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God. Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, emptied himself. Emptied himself for the sake of others. God's word here doesn't say, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. You know, even though he was God, he became very humble. And therefore you, O man, if God can do it, so should you. It's not saying God got his hands dirty and he's God, so you as a man or a woman better roll up your sleeves and get in there too. Now what we read in the text is much richer, it's deeper than that understanding. The reason that Jesus humbled himself was because he was God. He is God. And that's the mind-blowingly awesome thing about God, that humility is a key part of God's character. Humility is a key part of God's character. Grasping is not a divine characteristic, but pouring one's life out is. Grasping is not a divine characteristic, but the pouring out of one's life is. Jesus poured out his life, not despite the fact that he was God, but because he was God. Do you see the difference there? Scripture isn't saying that this is a standard that you should try to attain. It's saying this is a characteristic that you're called, that you're expected to live out. As we grow in maturity in Christ, as we grow into his likeness, selfish ambition and vain conceit are not consistent with a Christian life because they're not consistent with the very character and essence of who God is. So that pouring out one's life, being a characteristic that is intrinsic of God's nature, this should fill us with a great hope. But it should also fill us with a holy and reverent fear. A fear because this isn't an additional extra to the Christian life. This isn't something for extra credit. But this is part of the very core, part of the very essence of the Christian life. Serving and caring for one another is not limited to a select few. It's not a column on our spiritual tick list that we mark off once every month. It's meant to be part of our very lives as we're in Christ and as Christ lives in us. It's supposed to be a way of life. If we think that we are growing in maturity and yet we have no love or no concern for our brethren in Christ Jesus, then we're just deceiving ourselves. We are just deceiving ourselves. As I said, there's also a hope. And there's a hope because this isn't something that we have to create within ourselves. This is not something that we have to work up within ourselves. It's God's nature to serve. It's God's nature to pour himself out. And so as we grow in him, it's a naturally supernatural outworking of the life of Jesus in and through our lives that we see. Because it's part of his nature. As he changes and as he transforms us into the image of his Son, it can be true of us by the working of his Holy Spirit. Both on an individual level, but also corporately as a church. So as I said earlier, we have got to make sure that we lay the foundation correctly. And no other foundation can be laid except that of Christ Jesus. That's the only foundation that we can lay. This isn't a matter of saying certain people need to serve more, certain people need to serve less. That's just too superficial a way of looking at it. But all of us need to grow in maturity in Christ. All of us. When we find our identity in Christ, we pour out our lives. We pour out our lives because that is who He is. And we need to know that it's not just our salvation, but it's also our worth. It's also our purpose that is found in Jesus Christ. Our life is hidden in Him. And we need to know that. We need to be reminded of that. Don't believe the lie that your value is found in what you do. Don't believe that lie. Learn to hold on to things loosely in life. Even ministries. Hold on to things loosely. But you can only seek to cease grasping at things when we truly know the One who has grasped hold of us and who will not let us go. Our identity has to be found in Christ. And so whatever circumstances we find ourselves in life, and whether that's single, whether that's married, whether that's in full-time work, whether it's unemployment, whether it's passing or failing exams, whether it's working towards retirement, or whether it's finally achieving that goal, whether it's preaching a sermon, or whether it's listening to the sermon. One thing that isn't going to change is our identity in Christ Jesus. In whatever circumstances, if we are in Christ, if we follow Jesus Christ, if we have looked to Him as our rescuer, as our redeemer, then we are a child of God, and nothing is going to take away from that. I think there are people here tonight who need to know that you are valued because you're a child of God. You're not valued by what you can offer. As wonderful as those things may be, but you are valued because you're a child of God. Because Jesus Christ loved Himself. No, He loved you and gave Himself for you. And some people need to know that. And before any of us dare question God's wisdom in saving us and thinking He made the mistake, know this: God doesn't make bad decisions. He doesn't make bad choices. You've got to get over yourself. Give God the glory for what He's done. Acknowledge that He knows the right decision, the right choice. If He loves you, you're worth it in Him. And accept that. But as we find our worth, as we find our value in Christ, we also discover His working within us. Changing us. Changing us by His Holy Spirit. The key to Christ-like ministry is to allow Christ to minister in us and minister through us. It's His life, it's His power that is going to bring about the change. It's not really about what we need to do, it's more about what we need to become. And so those words that we heard earlier from Romans 12. Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So tonight, let us offer ourselves afresh to God, asking Him to renew us, asking Him to change us, to transform us. That as His children, we have the same mind, the same attitude that was in Christ Jesus. That as a serving community, it begins and it finds its completion in Christ Jesus. He's the vision, and he's the one we've got to keep our eyes and our focus on. Let's pray. And we thank you that you are the God, the one true and only God, who is high and exalted over all. And yet your very nature, your very heart is to pour yourselves out for your creation. Lord, even a rebellious and a broken creation. And we thank you that you have come to us, that you've called us, that you have rescued us, and you desire for us to be changed and transformed. And my prayer is that you would have your way in us day after day, that you would remind us that our identity is only found in you, Jesus. But also that you want to conform us to your image, to be changed, to be transformed. As we offer our lives to you as these living sacrifices, will you have your way in us and fulfill your good and perfect purpose? Knowing that you who have begun a good work will be faithful to bring it to completion until that day of Christ Jesus. So fulfill your word in our lives for the honor and glory of your name. Amen.